know, I go through these spurts, it seems like, where things happen and then nothing. Nothing unusual that I can recall happening. And I know this much, in the last 10 years, it's really happened a lot. And I've seen many, many more things than I saw the first 40 years of my life. In the last 15 years, I've seen more, had more things happen. And is that because of the changing times? Or is it because I'm just changing myself? And maybe it's a combination of both. The veil is lifting, and so more of these things happen. But I've had more. Well, I had a lot of spirit experiences when I was in my 30s. I don't recall almost any in my 20s. None that I can think of. No. And then when I was a kid, I had a lot of them. And I know because when you're a kid, you're open. When I was 4 years old, I had all those vibration, out-of-body vibration experiences. I had probably that happen at least a dozen times. And I had that very vivid out-of-body experience where I went somewhere where somebody pinched me. And I mean, it hurt when I came back to my body. And that's when I was in third grade. And then UFOs and things like that, strange things. There was a lot of that till somewhere around teenage years. And then those things disappeared. And then maybe we start, you know, I never changed the way I believed. I always stayed the way I think I have been. And then it went away for a long time. And in my 30s is when I had another out-of-body experience that was very, I would know I was awake at the time, or close to being awake, because I could literally see everything in the room and I could see my body below me. Then there was several incidents with spirits, the lantern, when we went camping that one year. And there was, in my 40s is when I saw more and more, you know, my friend Jay passed away and I had all kinds of crazy things go on after he passed and many, many things, you know, and I think, you know, here you think you're going through life and you're full of peace and joy and lovey-dove and all that. And it's like, no, you're not, TJ. You still have a ways to go. You know, there was always one kid, whenever I would get upset or think about things from the past, there was one kid I had a tough time letting go of. His name was Mark. I'm not going to give out his full name because I don't wish to bring anything on him or his family. But Mark, honestly speaking, and I was no saint as a kid. I did stupid things. I was always one of those kids who was mostly good, but once in a while I was tempted to do something bad. You know, it's crossed this line. Oh, I'm going to do that. What happens if you do that? You get in trouble, you dummy. And so I did some things that I guess that's how I had to learn the hard way sometimes. I raided a garden, which I never would do because I respect my parents' garden growing up, how hard they worked. And yet when I was in eighth grade, there was a teen dance, and afterwards the kids said, hey, let's go raid gardens. And of course, she wanted to be cool and fit in, and so I went with him, and I watched this one kid as he started raiding the garden, and I thought, okay, I'll pull a few vegetables. And he goes, oh, yeah, I do this all the time. Really, that's horrible. I couldn't imagine growing up like that without respect for other things and other people. We never did that to any of the neighbors, never. And so, of course, we eventually got caught, and we all got in trouble because we all owned up to it. We fessed up to it. But just how bold we were that night. And I think most of the kids that did that were really good kids. They just got caught up in a moment, and we all thought it would be cool, and we didn't stop and think. That was my life. Many times when I was younger, I didn't stop and think. Sometimes it nearly cost me my life, but I think the angel stepped in and saved me. And you heard about some of those incidents probably on my program different times where I felt it's going way too fast. But going back in time, it's funny how maybe each of us have somebody that made our life difficult. And is it by design or is it something we bring in? And when I say it's by design or bring it in, I think there are two choices that we have before we come here. There's a lot of research to suggest that we outline the experiences we want to have. We choose everybody we want to come in our life to teach us something. Maybe we're paying off some karma, too. We don't realize that fully while we're here. So some of the people that are in your life that are tormenting you, maybe they're just paying you back because you tormented them. But there was this one kid in school that I... Let me back that up. Let me also say the second thing that happens while we're here. We have this outline, we have this plan, and we're here to accomplish certain things. And then the second thing that draws things in is our fear. So if you focus on whatever you focus on, the longest becomes the strongest. If you focus on being afraid of someone, you're going to get more of that. If you have no fear whatsoever, you could walk in places where others would dare not go. I know this because I witnessed, there was a television show years ago about Alaska and this guy that went and filmed the polar bears. Now, most people that know polar bears, you don't go out amongst the polar bears. He said, I don't recommend this at home. You have to have no fear. If you have no fear, they will leave you alone. But even then, he says, I don't know for sure. And he survived being right next to these polar bears, having a tent. He slept in a tent. And this is what shows you how fear affects all things, not only animals, but the people around us. So was I afraid of this kid? I can't say I was afraid, but I was afraid he was going to just make fun of me. I guess I was worried about that. Physically, I don't know. We got into fights, and one time he hurt me pretty good. And I tried to stand up to him a couple of different times and usually lost because he was a lot bigger. But this kid was my tormentor. His name was Mark. And, you know, everything, we always say, well, everything happens for a reason. We always say it's better to love people and let go. Now, you don't always get an answer on that. I've been lucky. I've gotten a lot of answers. Every so often, like now, I had that, after my friend Susan died, that pigeon landed on my car. Was that Susan? I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing it could have been. It was just a very unusual situation. I talked about it in one of my other shows. I'm driving down the road. This was a few months ago, back in November, and a pigeon out of thin air just lands right on my windshield, practically on the windshield. He's standing on the wipers, right in the middle of the car, and he's looking right at me. And I'm thinking, I'm going down the road here, buddy. I'm going to be going a little faster pretty soon. You better fly off. And he's looking through the windshield. And I thought, well, he's going to fly off. And instead, he just turned around. He moved his feet around and moved his body. And he was facing in the direction the car was going like he wanted to go for a ride. It was really strange. And I turned a corner heading towards home. And it was in town, so the speed limit's maybe, I don't know, 30 miles an hour on that highway. And of course, once I got on the regular highway, it'd be less. And I thought, well, maybe he's hurt. But I decided to pull into a gas station right on the corner there of the intersection where the highways meet. And a woman was watching this whole thing from her SUV. And she's laughing and pointing at me. And I threw my hands up and said, I don't know what's wrong with him or what's going on. And I got out of my vehicle and the pigeon flew away and he was totally fine. So is that a sign? And I would say yes. That is a very obvious sign. And pigeons, I mean, there's many different teachings of what animals stand for, but they do stand for family. And, you know, my mom has shown up as a pigeon more than once. So I believe that. You know, other situations have happened. My wife got in an accident one time, and there was a pigeon right outside my window. And he was almost like an angel, angelic. He put his paw, not his paw, sorry, he put his claws, his foot, right on the window, and he just kind of hovered there. Now, that is really strange. It looked like an angel kind of to me. And the timing of it was exactly as my wife was going through her accident. Now, she wasn't hurt. But my point on this is there are signs. And if we just believe them, we'll see them. And why do I see them more than others? Maybe there are people that see even way more than me. But I see a lot of them. And I've got this connection. Maybe because I love animals, too. Whatever the case, the thing that happened to me most recently was about somebody I haven't connected with since I left high school, and I had no intention of connecting with this person. But I come away, it's just remarkable how it all works, I think. It's just amazing. Maybe this has happened to you, and maybe you weren't able to find answers. It seems like every time I try to find an answer, I get one. Rarely am I left where I do not know what the answer is. I see that as a blessing. Maybe because I'm always searching and I'm always open. I don't know. I think we can be provided answers to everything. And yet I know people out there, they get some kind of message and they're not sure who it's from. And maybe they talk to a psychic or whatever and it becomes a little more clear. But one psychic could say one thing and another one could say another thing. So you really don't know, do you? I'm pretty sure with many of the messages I've received, who they're from, the synchronicities, the different events that have gone on. Now this one, I didn't think much of it. This kid I knew back in high school and then also as an elementary, all the way back to elementary, he came from a rough home, I believe. And he told me once he got beat up by his brother and his brother knocked out a bunch of his teeth. And I thought, wow, what kind of brother does that? My brother never would have done that. Our family was not like that. Apparently, I don't remember if this is accurate, but I think he said his mother was a little bit of a drinker or a bit of a drinker. Well, my dad was one, but he didn't have a father around. So I can only imagine how difficult it was, his home life. So I remember most of the time him and I did not get along, and it's because I wasn't trying to pick on him. He was picking on me, not just me, but a lot of other kids. So he came to me Tuesday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, three nights in a row. And he looked as if he did in high school. Now that's 40 years ago, almost 40 years. And he looked about that age. And actually, each time I saw him, he was peaceful. Very peaceful, which is not how this guy was. He was like a hyper ADD, always joking, always in your face. Not, I didn't mind the joking. It's the constant making fun of. For example, I thought I was pretty cool when I was in high school and I wore a mustache and he called me shitface. I hated that. And he would do it to get a laugh and just make me feel insignificant. Maybe he didn't realize how I felt, but, you know, it was always comments like that. He spit water in my face one time when I was in a class. He just walked by and thought it'd be funny. He would sit behind me, and he hurt his leg, and he had crutches. And he would take his crutches, and I was wearing glasses, and he would push the glass, the edge of my glasses off my ear. And I kept having to readjust that. And he thought it was so funny. And he was just being a pain in the ass. And I hated him for a long time. I got into fights with him, and even after we were done with school, there were still those moments where I would think about him, and I didn't care about him. And I am not a hateful person. I really believe I love just about everybody. There's nobody on my list that I don't think I can forget. And maybe now, I don't hate him, but I looked at some of the things he did, and I still was not happy about it. I was still carrying it around. So for three nights in a row, just the other night, I had this dream of him showing up, and he was very peaceful. Now, I should have noticed that, you know? But this was a regular dream. This wasn't like when my parents came to visit me. These were dreams that were just regular dreams. One of the dreams, we were at some kind of party. There were people all around. People were having a good time. And he was kind of standing up against the table, and he just started talking to me, and he was very friendly. And I believe I gave him a hug in this dream because I just was glad that he was such a better person, and I didn't want to have any hard feelings, and I felt nothing but love towards him after that. So after the third dream, where he just popped in real quick at the end of my dream, he just popped in and had that look on his face of almost, I don't know if I'd call it sadness, but just concern. And then my dream was over. I woke up and I finally got it. This was him coming to me, just like my father did back in 1996. My father came to me and my brother. And I think it's to make amends on the other side. Now, I couldn't prove it at the time. I didn't think about it. But it hit me later, and I thought, he's coming to me because he's probably passed on. And he knows my thoughts, because they pick up your thoughts and your feelings. And he wants to make good on it. And I've witnessed that before with my own father coming to me very timid and humble and filled with love and not the guy that I remember. And so I know when we get into our spirit state, at the next place, and there's many different places we can go to with our consciousness, but a lot of us can be in a very loving place. And, you know, they say we have a life review. I believe that happens. So if you go to the place of reincarnation, you're going to witness everything you've done to everybody. And that is where most will wind up. Some will go beyond that to a higher level of consciousness. But those are only the ones that are ready, from what I understand. So most of us will experience, the first thing we do is the white light. We go to that. And then is when we get to the end of this light, we're taken right to, all of a sudden, everything around us becomes a panoramic view. And we witness everything we've done in our lifetime to somebody else. Not only do we witness it, but we feel it. We feel it from the standpoint of the other person. And that is the great teacher in all of this. There has to be no punishment from a divine being. It's not necessary, because this showing you of what you did to others and allowing you to feel it will make you change, I think, in a hurry, when you truly can feel it. Because people just don't lack empathy. That's why they do the things they do. They just don't have empathy. They don't understand what it's like to feel what somebody else. And, you know, maybe part of what I went through was to teach me empathy, to have empathy for anybody else that's gone through that. We don't know what's lined up in our life before we get here. Very few of us can remember. And maybe I said, you know what, sign me up for that empathy. And he said, sure, you want me to pick on you while we're down there? I'm going to be a little hard on you if you don't mind. Go ahead. I want to learn. I want to be a better being. I want it to serve me in this lifetime more than anything. Because I think we've lived many, many, many lifetimes, and we've probably seen it all and experienced many, many things. We don't have to keep doing it over. But maybe this time around I said, well, you know, I want to be a more loving being. We're coming into 2012. I want to be more gentle. Just see things on a bigger picture. So maybe I need to learn some hard lessons, a little harder, more difficult. Or it could be maybe in the last lifetime or lifetimes ago that I did something to him. But I really feel it was something we agreed on, and he was more than willing to play that role. One could say that about Judas. Judas agreed to turn Jesus in, and you know, the thing is, Jesus was so aware of all this, he actually reminded Judas to do it. That's where we're separated. I'm not quite like Jesus. So maybe Mark was playing a role. I'm sure of it. And teaching many of us to forgive. You know, many things come out of it. Compassion, understand why people do it, especially in this day and age. I think we're seeing more of that. So I really figured that Mark had crossed over and he was coming back to make peace with me, because he probably felt some of the things he did, even if he had agreed to it, you know. He still experienced it. Maybe, I don't know. I would guess that if he's coming back to me, then maybe it wasn't part of an agreement, now that I think about it. Maybe it was something I brought on through my fear. I was afraid, not of him, like I said, physically, but just afraid of what he was going to say and how I was going to be embarrassed by it, more than anything. Not a physical thing, but, you know, as a kid, you want to be cool, you want to fit in, you want, and just, I didn't fit in very well. And then on top of that, I believe that I needed that lesson. That was really something that helped me. You know, but still, for a long time, I held resentment towards this individual. And now I see it differently. So then I thought, okay, if this is him from the other side, because it certainly wouldn't be him from this side. You know, I guess we could leave our body, we could communicate with each other. But my experience has been that, and certainly I guess it could be from this side, but it's more often than not, it's somebody that's passed. When somebody shows up in your dream, it's somebody that's passed. Now, I haven't talked to this guy in forever, so I don't know if he was dead or alive. And frankly, I didn't care. But I remember years ago, my friend Pete, now I don't know how long this has been, Pete passed away, and I did a show about Pete because he was a really pretty cool guy too, and how he affected others and how he lived his life. I did a show just in remembrance of Pete. You can find that if you want. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing. It's my personal experience with him, just trying to realized that he had his own difficult journey. But I remember Pete getting harassed by, because Pete was a bigger guy, and Pete got harassed by this guy as well, by Mark. And yet he was at peace with it, it seemed like. He says, yeah, I've gone to the reunions. You should come to the reunion. I said, I have no desire to go see those people. And this was not that long ago. And I said, I'm just not going to be, let people, I don't want to be around people like that. There was very few people that I was close friends with. And I see no purpose. And I went to the 10-year reunion, and it seemed like there was still a lot of cliques. And it didn't bother me, but I just thought, well, I don't want to do this again. You know, because I was my own person at the 10-year, and I had a lot of fun. But I could still see that there were a lot of people that walked around thinking they were superior. And I'm sure my ego didn't like that. Now it doesn't care. But still, I wouldn't want to be around. Maybe it's good to be around those people. But anyway, Pete passed away. God, I don't know how long it's been now. It's been a while. And I remember him talking about Mark being at the reunion. I thought, thank goodness I didn't go. So, and it's funny how, you know, it pulls us away. I'm a people person with my job. And, you know, I'm always interacting with people and treating them well. And they treat me the same way in return. My high school life and even junior high in no way is a reflection of how I live my life. I've chosen to surround myself with people that are of the light and not put up with people's crap if they're not. And I'm not afraid to call them out. That's the little tiger in me that exists. But now I'm learning not to let it go and not let it bother me and just avoid them if that's what it takes. But, you know, I think the truer message would just be send love their way. It always is. So I'm thinking that yesterday I'm going to see if I can find out if Mark has passed. So in the morning I was thinking, well, maybe he's passed and I'm sending him love and I totally forgive you, Mark. And I truly do, because I saw his true essence in that dream. And that's something I should already know. But sometimes we need reminders. When I got home yesterday afternoon, I decided to go on Facebook, and I thought, well, maybe if I Google his name, I can find if there's anything about him. Sometimes they set up sites in memory of somebody. And sure enough, it just blew me away. There was a site that was created in 2011. He passed away in November, I think it was November of 2011. I don't know what it caused his death, but it just said that he was a father, a husband, he had family, and they meant a lot. He meant a lot. They talked about how much of a loving being he was. And I thought, really, is that the same guy that I knew? Because he didn't seem that way. But I suppose if people ran into me from when I was a kid, they would say, boy, you've changed a lot. And we do, I guess. We can gravitate, become better beings, or we can stay the same, or we can get worse, I guess, right? And so most of us probably do become better beings, especially as the clock starts to tick. Then you can, you'll find that your time is running out, and some people want to become more spiritual. That was never the case with me. I think I was just raised by a really good mother and in a family that was really good. And like I said, I did some things that weren't always great. But for the most part, I was a really good person. And I think you put a target on your back when you're like that. Some kids resented that, especially boys. They thought and even there were some girls that came from rougher existences, and they thought I was too good, too much of a goody two-shoes. And maybe they didn't think I was tough enough or whatever. I had a mark, it seemed like, with certain kids. And they came after me. And it was always in your face and always, you know, came close to fighting some of these kids. And eventually I toughened up and I wasn't afraid of that. But it was teaching me balance. But also, you don't have to fight. You really don't. I mean, maybe sometimes you do. Maybe you have no other option. So I found out that Mark had passed away, and it was in 2011. And it made me sad for his family, because they knew a different Mark than I knew, probably. And he turned out to be an okay guy. And all those years that I had of resentment towards him, maybe they weren't necessary. Well, of course they weren't. And now he was willing to come from the other side. And I don't remember a word he said to me when we were talking in those dreams, because this was more of a dream, not an actual visitation like I had before with my parents. But it's kind of cool. And I'll tell you what, I was so lifted. And I'm so at peace with it all. And I'm so grateful that he came, and thankful. Now, a few weeks, maybe a week or so ago, I wouldn't have been saying that. For the most part, I was at peace with it. But every so often, something would crop up in my mind. And I'd say, oh, yeah, I remember when he did this to me. And I'd be angry about it, thinking about it. And so apparently, it wasn't completely gone. Now, there were kids that actually did worse things to me when I was in high school. Physical things. Not ever beat me up real bad, but just embarrassing. And I didn't resent them. And maybe it's because, I don't know, maybe I wasn't with them as long as I was with Mark. Mark was from third grade on. Third grade, he kicked the crap out of me. And we were watching a film in third grade. It was one of those educational third grade kid films. It was pretty boring. In the lunchroom, and they turned off the lights and were supposed to be quiet. And I don't know if he was making noise. I don't know if I told him shh or something. Somehow we got into it, and we slapped each other a little bit, and he just slapped me silly. And I was crying underneath the lunchroom table. And I remember him saying to a couple of girls, yeah, I slapped him pretty silly. He's under there crying right now. I don't know if he felt guilty for that or not. But then when we were in like fourth grade, I remember we were in the library, and he wanted the same book as I did. And I said, no, I'm going to get this book. And he says, no, you're not. Or something. We were fighting about something. And I punched him real hard in the stomach, and he let go of the book, and he left me alone. So I thought, okay, I won that round. And then when we're in seventh grade, we're in the lunchroom, and he was kind of being obnoxious to kids, and I didn't like it, and towards me a little bit. And I thought, I was a little toughian, I thought, you know. And I said, why don't you and I fight? We'll settle this for once and for all. And he said, fine, I'll meet you outside on the playground. Now, as far as I know, he would never been in a fight that I recall, because I don't think he was a violent kid. And I'd been in a few scrapes, but, you know, when you're that age, they're not hurting somebody else. You never... There was always the case of that you would back off and you never really wanted to hurt somebody. And that, of course, doesn't help you if you're going to fight someone. But I remember fighting him, and he was so much bigger than me, and I tried to duck and come in, and I should have just wrestled him to the ground. And I think I would have won, because I was a really good wrestler at that age. But I didn't think that's how you fought. You're not supposed to fight like that. What a dummy. I shouldn't have fought to begin with. But he gave me a couple black eyes, which took a few weeks to go away. So that was a very humiliating time for me. And I got past that. But then in high school, again, he did those things like spitting water in my face. It just had no respect for me, it seemed like. So I guess he coming to me and making peace with me, obviously he saw what he did. I can laugh about it now, but it's like, there was a bit of things you did to me there. And we're all connected, and we're all from the same source. And I'll tell you what, it is such a blessing when that happens. So if you get a visit from a classmate that you haven't seen forever, maybe they're not in the flesh anymore. Maybe they're in spirit. And if it was somebody that you didn't get along with, and all of a sudden they're showing up in your dream, maybe you want to double check to see if they're still around. Because chances are, they've passed on, and they've seen what they've done. Has anybody else experienced this? Because now this has happened to me a couple different times in my life. And I really know it's for my own good and his own good. He can't move forward till I let go of it. And I truly can't move forward as a loving, truly loving being of everything. It always holds us back when there's little things we hang on. If we're going to become unlimited beings by moving into the fifth dimension, if that's truly happening, then we have to, maybe that's why this is happening now as well, we have to let go of all things and make peace with them. So this to me is just a true wonderful blessing. If you have any stories that you want to share I don't care what it is, but those kind of things, I'd love to hear about it. So feel free to contact me whenever you get a chance. You can send me an email, or you can contact me through this site. Because who knows? A lot of people have had similar encounters. And the more we talk about it, the more we realize that it's happening all the time. So I wish you peace and joy and love. And let go. It's easy to say, let go of the things that don't really matter, because they truly don't. And just one message more, and this is to Mark, and he knows it. He knows it now because he hears my thoughts, and he feels my heart. But I love you, and thank you. Thank you so much.